And my relatives, we have on the telephone here several people who are involved in the alcohol justice cause, and we've heard reports and read articles, New York Times, and constant news on White Clay, Nebraska, and how a little town with a population in White Clay, Nebraska, on the eastern side near South Dakota, a population of 12 people, and they have four liquor stores in that little town, and they conspire with bootleggers to transport illegally 3.5 million cans of Budweiser beer into the Pine Ridge Reservation, located just 2 miles away. And we have Jorge Castillo. He's directing the alcohol justice. And we hopefully will have time to listen to Catherine Thunder and Faith Fast Wolf and Wombly Wind Red Cloud talking to us about their individual roles. But Jorge, take it away, and greetings to you. And tell us your organization and how you're faring.
Tony, thank you for having us on the program. Oh. And Alcohol Justice, the organization that I work at, it's based out of San Rafael in the Bay Area, and we focused on trying to regulate the big alcohol companies like Budweiser, Miller Coors, and Diageo. And we try to make sure that the community can create regulatory procedures by which they can protect themselves, just like you do with tobacco and oil and environmental issues. And like you mentioned, we're currently involved in a campaign, and we're very honored to be working with the Ogallala Lakota of Pine Ridge, trying to address the bootlegging taking place in White Clay. And the situation is actually very tragic. Not only do we have 3.5 million cans going into Pine Ridge from White Clay, a town of 12 people, but that situation has caused a lot of serious health problems. One out of four children in Pine Ridge suffers from fetal alcohol syndrome. 80% of the families in Pine Ridge are affected by alcoholism. The teenage suicide rates are some of the highest in the nation and in Turtle Island. Aside from that, lawlessness at White Clay includes things such as store owners selling alcohol to intoxicated people, to minors after closing time, the trading of alcohol for sex, the arming of intoxicated individuals to fight activists with bats and fireworks, and the list can go on and on. But the community has been fighting to stop this unregulated, almost criminal type of bootlegging that's causing devastating harm in Pine Ridge. And we're really glad to be involved, and glad to be talking to you about this important issue.
And Ora, just real quick before we talk to Catherine Thunder and Faith Fast Wolf, what drives the selling, of the alcohol to the state of South Dakota and to Pine Ridge in particular? Is it because Pine Ridge Reservation is a dry reservation, or are they all the other reservations in the state, they sell alcohol, or how many reservations are alcohol-free right now?
There's actually quite a number of Native American tribes that are alcohol free, but in this case, what drives the alcohol bootlegging and the amount of alcohol being consumed in Pine Ridge is, and one the most important thing is historical trauma, lack of employment, and the lack of economic development in Pine Ridge. And what we have here is the Budweiser Corporation and the Budweiser distributor in Nebraska. They're donating hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. So over the last 20 years, they donated probably close to $500,000 to this former governors, state attorney generals, and state senators to stop any type of regulatory measures to make sure that the law is applied equally in White Clay and to those liquor stores. So what's happening is that the corporations, the state, in the state are not enforcing the law, and it's creating a lot of loopholes that is allowing a criminal type of activity to take place. Because if there is group regulatory measures, Tony, you wouldn't have this kind of amount of sales going on and this kind of abuse. And, it, you know, I think in, on the surface you would think it's because it's a dry reservation, but it's mostly because loopholes are being exploited. The law is not being applied equally. And there's a lot of history. Of course, you know, Pine Ridge led the way with the American Indian Movement, the political revival of Native people. And I think they've been sort of almost embargoed, you know, almost isolated, and not allowed, not given the opportunity to develop as they should.
Mm-hmm. And what, excuse me, Jorge, if, for interjecting, what about the state itself of Nebraska? How dependent are they on the revenues, or somehow that all these other cans of beers that are legal? What's the tune of revenue for the state that they
The state doesn't make that much, maybe $120,000. And the, ironically, that money goes to an education fund.
But
the people that make the most money are the distributor, who's, you know, who gets all the money from 3.5 million cans of beer, and also the store owners and the local county officials who divert state county funds.
So they break it up, huh?
To fund law enforcement efforts,
Okay, Jorge, listen to Catherine, and she's been organizing there to shut down the four liquor stores. I'd like to hear how Catherine's coming along in that, and what kind of reaction from the stores themselves.
Hello, my name is Catherine. I'm from the POW Camp 344.
Oh.
Catherine?
Uh-huh.
And what was your question again?
Yeah, that you've been involved in trying to shut down the liquor stores. How have you been doing on that, and what's been the reaction from the community of 12 people?
We started about 5 years ago with direct action.
It was, I recall,
direct action with lockdown. We sat down in the middle of the road and locked down with each other against Women Unite Against Genocide. That was about 5 years ago. Then we went on into Zero Tolerance Camp, a camp that we made right at the borderline of White Clay to help with the roadblocks coming in and off the reservation, checking for alcohol going onto a reservation with along with DUIs. With being there at this camp, we did walkthroughs. We were taking pictures of illegal sales, illegal sexual transactions, gang fights, beatings, just other horrendous actions against our people, to each other, and against each other. Also against the bar owners, who actively put our people against each other with helping them with alcohol to fight us or fight each other. We have given the bar owners themselves eviction notices, letting them know that we do not want them on our land, which is still our treaty land. We have tried to have our own police on a reservation to help us with the roadblocks, especially during the first of the month, which is the most active time for our people who go to White Clay to buy the sale of alcohol.
And what kind of cooperation do you get from the reservation police?
We really ran up against just straight. They didn't want have to do anything with our fight. They wanted to stand back. With us doing it ourselves by going and locking down the road ourselves, they had no choice but to help us.
Oh, that, and that's really direct action, Catherine. We're listening to Catherine Thunder along with Jorge Castillo. And Catherine, can you pass the mic over to Faith Fastwolf so we can hear about her? How it's affected her life and loved ones. And I assume we're all clean and sober there from that end of the telephone line as well, huh?
Hello?
Yeah, Faith, are you there?
This is Faith.
Yo, Faith Fastwolf.
Yes.
Yes, tell us how White Clay has affected your family, your life, and loved ones.
White Clay had a big impact in my family with alcoholism. I grew up in a non-alcoholic home with my my parents not drinking and allowing alcohol in our home. but it affected my siblings. I had a brother who was standing in White Clay since the age of 16, and he passed away at the age of 22 of cirrhosis. And the reason why he stood in White Clay was because they sold to him as him being underage. He stood up during numerous nights, days, we would go up there looking for him, and him sleeping in an abandoned car behind White Clay. And we've stressed to Nebraska, you know, to try to help my brother, put him in treatment or, you know, save him somehow. And we got no response. And, you know, it was really hard to see my family and relatives as Lakota people going to White Clay to purchase alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It poisoned the Lakota minds of our people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has a wide effect everywhere. As we say, you know, once you start drinking alcohol, your spirit leaves you, huh, Faith? And
yes.
Faith, can you pull a Wombly Wind Red Cloud in so we can get a few minutes, you know, comments on the hearing? There's going to be a liquor store commission or liquor commission hearing tomorrow in Lincoln, Nebraska. Wombly Wind, you want to tell us about that?
Oh, hello.
Go.
I'm Wombly Red Cloud from Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
We came down to a Nebraska Liquor Control Commission hearing in Lincoln. It's about the renewal of the liquor licenses for White Clay.
Okay.
We have really high hopes that they will shut it down or do the right thing, but we came to ask Nebraska to clean up your backyard. You know, open your eyes and have some compassion and have a heart. And we came to ask Nebraska to stop killing Indians and their children because alcohol isn't a part of our people. But we, you know, we have high hopes for it to be shut down. And we just came down here to testify.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for Wombly Wind for talking to us, as well as Catherine and Jorge Castillo, and good luck tomorrow on the alcohol commission. We'll have to do a follow-up on another show next week, Jorge and everyone else there, on the outcome of that decision. And we're for you. We're praying hard.